listening to Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.
Ask Shelley. This is the part of the show where you email questions to Shelley that you would never ask her to her face. All right, so let's ask Shelley.
It's Ask Shelley.
It's a fun one.
It's a funzer. Every Monday right around this time, we get together and you pose your questions to Shelley. She comes back and answers them on Mondays.
I love the stuff people come up with.
Oh, absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
I love their spelling. Question number one from Robert, who writes, why, when humans die, do we bury them 6 foot underground? That's interesting. Is he interested in the number? Is that what you're getting from this?
I guess so, yeah. It all started with the plague, they say. The origins of 6 feet under came from a 1665 outbreak in England. As a disease swept the country, the mayor of London laid out specifications, which are titled...
Yes.
Orders conceived and published by the Lord Mayor and Aldermen of the City of London concerning the infection of the plague. Now, in those orders was that all graves shall be at least 6 feet deep, because at the time they thought the burying the dead that far down would stop the plague from spreading. The law eventually fell out of favor in both England and its colonies, but the saying 6 feet under stayed. In America, burial laws vary from state to state. A lot of the states simply require a minimum of 18 inches of soil on top of the casket or burial vault, or 2 feet of soil if the body's not enclosed in anything. But we still say 6 feet under because it caught on.
Because that's what we do? Right. Or that's how it started anyway? Mm-hmm. So, I wonder who... Still, though, it sounds arbitrary. Like, someone had to come up with that number in some way. Someone had to go to them as well. Let's bury him as deep as he is tall. And then when we turn him this way, we'll be sufficiently insulated against the infection never coming back up out of the ground. Something.
That's it.
Letter number two. Dear Shelley, I saw an article going around that said if you gargle with Listerine, it can kill gonorrhea. Any truth to this? I couldn't find anything. Signed, Aaron.
So I'm not a doctor, and this is not medical advice. Talk to your doctor, Aaron, okay? But that being said, I did Google, and I saw a bunch of news sites ran with this just before Christmas because the results of one study was announced. I'll go with Men's Health Magazine. They had these details. Mouthwash could do more than keep your breath fresh. It might actually kill the bacteria and cause the sexually transmitted infection gonorrhea.
Okay.
Australian researchers mixed either Listerine Cool Mint or Total Care or a saline solution with gonorrhea cultures. Afterwards, they found the number of bacteria in the mouthwash, but not the saline, had decreased significantly. So then they tested it on 58 men who had sex with men and tested positive for gonorrhea in the mouth or throat. The mouthwash dramatically cut down on the gonorrhea bacteria. Only 52% of the Listerine users still tested positive for gonorrhea afterwards, compared to 84% of men who rinsed with the saline. So it's not 100%, even at best, but the results of the study seem to show that it helped in some way.
Okay.
Still, though, talk to your doctor if you think you're infected.
Talk to your daughter, too.
This remedy was only effective for gonorrhea in the mouth, mostly the area around the tonsils, but the infection can also show up in the urethra or the rectum, and Listerine does not go there.
There you go. I was going to point that out to young Aaron here.
Yes.
It's for mouthful gonorrhea.
Yeah.
Just FYI.
Yeah.
Don't
put Listerine there.
No.
It's probably going to burn.
If you ever read the label on Listerine, it's an antiseptic. That's what it wasn't invented as a mouthwash. It was invented as an antiseptic.
Sure.
Right. And by a guy named Lister. So there you go. And then finally this, dear Shelley. Has a football team ever played the Super Bowl in their own stadium? Signed, Leslie.
So they pick the cities for hosting way ahead of time. Like, we know where it's going to be each year from now until 2021.
Okay.
That being said, the answer is technically no. I mean, not really. The technical answer is that no team has played in their own stadium, but the LA Rams did play one 20 minutes away in 1980. They lost that year to the Steelers. Yeah.
Vince Ferragamo, the Rams quarterback, everybody. The sexy pick was the Rams in that game. But no. No, the Steelers prevailed.
Okay.
But the Miami Dolphins did play the Super Bowl in their home stadium against the Eagles in the movie Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. Which would have never happened because that was 1994 and the Eagles sucked pretty bad that year. They finished 7-9, didn't even make it to the playoffs, so another fellow.
But we needed teams with animal names because it's Ace Ventura.
There is one other thing that I found. There are a couple teams who made it to the Super Bowl the year before their city hosted it. Like in 1999, the Falcons lost to the Broncos in Miami. Then in 2000, Atlanta hosted it. And that happens. Right. That's happened like 4 or 5 times at least in history, which is just kind of a weird coincidence. They make it the year before, and then their city's hosting it the next year.
Sure. And then this year it's in Houston, right?
Yes. And the Texans were eliminated Saturday.
Texans just got knocked out.
Night by the Patriots.
Yep. But at least they're in the conversation for about a week.
Yes.
Right. Hey, if you have a question, send it to Shelly at fm99.com. It's Ask Shelly, and we do it on Mondays at right around this time.